Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, Sean Whaley. He's the political reporter for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, based in Carson City, plus Liz McMenamin. It's all coming up next on all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Your business workers' comp company should be your partner. The Pro Group customer care team brings you effective risk management, training, support, and web tools at no extra cost to you. We maximize the safety of your employees and business every day. Pro Group is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with information and resources at your fingertips. We ensure your employees' safety and that your premium's in line. When you're a Pro Group member, you have the team that's looking out for you. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Call for a no-obligation quote today.
Safety is the number one priority for the trucking industry. Over $7 billion a year is spent on technology, like this electronic eye, that will apply the brakes automatically. But the most important factor for safety is the truck driver. These hardworking men and women who safely move over 70% of our nation's freight and 94% of Nevada's. We thank you, because trucks move America forward.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Chronic diseases like diabetes,
asthma, and heart disease
are the number one
cause of death,
disability,
and rising healthcare costs
in the United States.
Today,
more than 86%
of our healthcare spending
goes to treating people with chronic diseases.
I'm Ken Thorpe, chairman of the Partnership to Fight Chronic Disease. As the presidential candidates discuss their plans to address rising healthcare costs,
ask them how they plan to address the chronic disease problem.
Paid for by the Partnership to Fight Chronic Disease.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always pleased to welcome back to the program Sean Whaley. He's the reporter of politics for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Pleased to have you back on the program, sir.
Thank you, Sam.
Interesting interviewing Teresa Benitez-Thompson yesterday. And she's talking about funding for health care is going to be one of the biggest issues of the legislature, especially the Medicaid funding, and also looking at what can be done with the health exchange. What can you share with us about that?
Well, I do know that the Medicaid funding issue is going to be a big one for the legislature, because they expanded the program to offer it to more Nevada residents who took advantage of it. And with the health care, Obamacare in place, it was an option a lot of people needed to pursue. So it's going to grow. It's going to continue to grow. Mike Wilden, chief of staff to Governor Sandoval, said it's going to be one of the big budget items in the upcoming session. More people will join in. The state share of the program is going to continue to expand. So they don't expect a ton more tax revenues. So it's going to be an interesting session in trying to manage the needs. And I'm sure the governor has a few other things he'd like to accomplish.
Do you see the recovery in northern and southern Nevada as being able to bring more tax revenue to the state just by virtue of the growth?
You would think so, but about a month ago when they had the first budget discussion and Mike Wilden and other members of the Sandoval cabinet were at the hearing, it was public too, anyone could tune in, they were saying don't get your hopes up that we're going to have a huge amount of new revenue. It's not going to grow like you might have hoped, and we do have demands like Medicaid and other programs like that and expanded education opportunities that we're offering now. So I'm not sure that there's going to be a whole lot of extra money to play with.
And yes, when you look at what the increase was in Medicaid funding the last go around, if you're going to have another increase, that's going to wipe out pretty much any growth that you get.
Yeah, and some of the people who joined Medicaid were not eligible under the big share where the federal government pays the most of it. These were people who could have come in under Medicaid and had opted not to. And so that population, the state's paying a bigger share for those people. So that amount of revenue is going to increase.
The solar, rooftop solar, that battle still seems to be continuing.
It is. It's sort of died down at the PUC level, the Public Utilities Commission, but there's still a ballot proposal that's underway that is being challenged in the courts that could come to bear in the November election. There's a governor's task force looking at options to go forward with rooftop solar in some new fashion to accommodate, especially the people who thought they were grandfathered in with the original more favorable rates. And the legislature has an interim committee, the Energy Committee, looking at it too. I think it's going to be a very high focus item in the legislature.
It seems, though, that NV Energy is becoming more willing to work with the previous owners and looking at going forward with a different plan.
I think they are. And interestingly enough, when the PUC was reconsidering the whole thing, NV Energy said, we're willing to grandfather this group in. We're willing to do that. But the PUC looked at the numbers and they looked at the analysis and they decided that this was the best way to move forward, have one group of net metering customers paying one rate and then all the non-solar folks paying the other rate, and that's just how they decided to go. I know the governor wasn't entirely pleased with the end result from the PUC, but he stayed out of it because he felt they were appointed regulators and he shouldn't really intercede.
And that's the way it's supposed to be, is you appoint and then you back off and allow the commission to do its thing. Let's talk about the races for Assembly and Senate in the Silver State and how Donald Trump is going to affect these.
Yeah, I wish I knew the answer to that. I bet a lot of people are wondering about that. I know I am. Initially, I thought with Donald Trump that he's going to be a negative, and I'm sure the Democrats view him as at the presidential level as their Hillary's favorite candidate, because I think she feels that he is vulnerable and that she will win in November. But there's clearly a lot of people who support Donald Trump, and he has a popular voter base. How big that base is, I don't know. Will people show up on election day to vote for him or to vote against him? How that's going to play out down ballot, I'm not sure, but I think the Republicans are a little bit concerned. The Democrat registration edge has certainly improved in Nevada. So
I was going to say that the numbers are quite staggering.
They are. And so it looks like number-wise that maybe Donald Trump isn't the answer for Republicans in Nevada this year, but he was counted out early on in the presidential contest. I mean, the first few weeks of him running, it was like, well, he's a flash in the pan. He'll be gone in a month. He'll be gone 2 months. He'll fizzle out. Well, he didn't fizzle out, did he? So
we shall see. And interesting to see, you know, the split for Democratic voters age-wise between the millennials who are going for Bernie Sanders and older Democratic voters, especially women, who are looking at all the issues that women have dealt with for years. And, you know, that's where the split is.
Yeah, and the Bernie Sanders supporters, it's going to be crucial to get them to support Hillary if she ends up the nominee, as it looks like. So the question is, will there be a lot of disillusioned young voters who rallied around Bernie, and if he doesn't succeed, will they just not show up in November? So that's the problem the Democrats have. And, you know, Donald Trump, how he does with women voters, it doesn't appear to be his strong suit. So,
all right, let's take a break. More with Sean Whaley when we come back.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends. Play the hottest slots and video games. Join the Conductors Club and earn comps and free play. Meet your friends at Sully Sports Bar and feast on juicy burgers, wings, big beers, and all your favorite cocktails. Download the Tamarack Junction mobile app for exclusive food and gaming offers right from your phone. The Tamarack Junction, where friends meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. You ask, are we busy? Here's United Construction, 700,000 square feet of distribution. This is SJS Development. They're grading for their new facility. This is eBay's new data center under construction. TRI offers 30,000 acres of industrial property. It's ready to build, and there's room for you. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. We're building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance, custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with political reporter for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, Sean Whaley, based in Carson City. Let's take a look at CD2, Mark Amaday and Chip Evans on the Democratic side running against him. You know, there was a story the other day that was headlined that that Mark Amaday was out of touch with his district. I couldn't think of a more absurd headline.
Well, I wrote that story, although I did not write the headline.
I know. And so I point that out.
But I think what they're saying is that there are a lot of constituents in CD2 that don't feel they're being represented by Mark. Democrats, maybe some nonpartisan voters. And they're trying to distinguish themselves because there's a three-way Democratic primary to find out who's going to challenge Mark in November. I think it's fair from their perspective that they don't feel they're being represented by Mark Amaday, so I'm not going to entirely abandon the headline. But it's also clear that Mark represents a vast majority of his constituents very, very well in their minds because he wins re-election, and it's a very Republican district, and it's never been won by a Democrat, and it's going to be a difficult battle for anybody to overcome that.
And the big question is, can Chip Evans raise the money to be able to make this fight competitive? Because the last person that did that was Jill Derby on her first go-around.
Right, and she challenged Heller and Dean Heller, and she came pretty close to... She didn't win. I mean, she got about 46% of the vote, though, which was a pretty healthy return for her in that race. But Chip Evans has indicated that he is seriously raising money. He hasn't raised anywhere near what Mr. Amaday has raised. So he is trying in a concerted way to get money and get a campaign together to challenge Mark. But again, the numbers just make it extremely unlikely that anyone is going to be able to take out a Republican in CD2. It just doesn't seem very plausible.
Let me ask you this. You know, Dean Heller, on the program, hedging his bets in terms of he loves his job, he's running for re-election, but when you bring up the potential for governor, suddenly there's a pause.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure he likes traveling to Washington every week, and I know Mark Amaday isn't happy about, you know, the transportation back and forth to the East Coast and coming back to serve your constituents. So serving as governor in Carson City would certainly be a little more accommodating to folks who would like to spend more time in their own state. It's not like if you're a congressperson from New Jersey or somewhere where you got a short trip to go to D.C. So I think that wears them down, and I think that's why, in part, maybe they would look at something like the governor's race. But also it's a prestigious office. The governor of Nevada would be a heck of a thing to have on your resume.
But it would be interesting to see what the lieutenant governor would say about this. Is he obviously, Mark Hutchison, has eyes on this.
There are a number of Republicans, strong Republican candidates, who could potentially run for governor in 2016 or 2018. So it'll be interesting to see if, like, there's some consensus reached or if it's going to be a primary battle. If so, it'll be an entertaining one.
Well, and in the past, certainly for U.S. Senate on the Republican side, there's been no shortage of candidates. So I don't see whether they would come up with a consensus candidate unless, you know, an industry like gaming decided that they were going to fund early, like they did with Kenny Gwynn, for example, or even Governor Sandoval where they pretty much put up so much money, it scared most people off.
Right. Yeah, obviously, the people who follow this and invest in candidates would like to have a nice, clean race with a chosen candidate. But it's fun to get a primary and have different points of view and have a debate over those sorts of things. So I'm not sure everyone's going to be going along with that idea if it's going to be floated.
Now, Steve Sisolak on the Democratic side is running for re-election as a county commissioner and has been a very prominent player in that position. He's likely to run for governor as well.
If he does, he's got challenges as well. He's had difficulties with some of his own labor people because he's been a bit outspoken, although he seems to have mended some of those fences. So on the Democratic side, his voter base there, he might have a little work to do to convince everybody that he's the guy. I don't know anyone else out there right now on the Democratic side who's possibly looking at governor in 2018. I guess Ross Miller is a possibility. There may be others.
Do you think time has passed for Ross?
I don't think it's passed, but the question is he still interested? Maybe being out of politics for a while, maybe he's decided that it's just not something he wants to pursue in the remainder of his life. Maybe he wants to do something else. So I think it might be a personal reason that maybe he would opt not to do that. But I think he'd be a formidable candidate if he chose to do so.
Well, he was a formidable candidate the last time around, and that didn't work out so well.
No, it didn't. But that 2014 election was a pretty unusual one by anybody's standards, and the Republican sweep was amazing. But I don't know if we'll see that again 2016 or 2018.
As you go around the executive offices, what's the relationship like between the governor's office and the rest of the constitutional officers?
I don't think it's all that pleasant, quite frankly. The governor, obviously, with Mark Hutchison, has a close ally there, and he backs him up totally. But Ron Connect and our attorney general, Mr. Laxalt, and our treasurer, Mr. Schwartz, they all sort of have different views of how government should run. And the other day, Ron Connect got into a little debate with the governor over the commerce tax because Ron is pushing to repeal that, and the governor obviously supported it. So I don't think relationships are all that really good, but the voters pick those folks for those constitutional offices, and so he just has to deal with the fact that he's got those folks in place on various boards, too, where he has to interact with them.
Carson City Supervisor Karen Abowd was on the program last week and said that the Ormsby House is up for sale once again.
I had heard that. I had done a story about the downtown project that the city's doing to make it more user-friendly and reduce it to two lanes, and some people like it, some don't. It's a local issue for Carson City. But I had heard that the folks who were working on the Ormsby House were sort of running out of inspiration to continue with that project, and that maybe they would want to pass that on to some other interested party. It would be crucial to a downtown redevelopment to get that property open and running, and it's been closed for many years, so I hope for the best for that, but I don't know who might want to pick that up.
You never know these days with the economy starting to boom. You never know. Sean Whaley, always a pleasure, sir. Come back soon.
Thank you very much.
We'll be right back.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. What is Switch? The answer? They represent the most dynamic growth industry in the United States today. Data storage, the information of the world. Here they're building the first of many 1 million square foot facilities. It's in their new campus. It's for eBay. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevada.
What the heck does HVAC stand for? HVAC stands for heating, ventilation, and air conditioning. It also stands for one of the hottest careers around. And trained HVAC technicians are in high demand. As an HVAC technician, you'll work with mechanical, electrical, and refrigeration systems. Start your career as a heating, ventilation, and refrigeration technician now by calling CCNN at 775-583-4696. That's 775-583-4696.
If you have a loved one addicted to prescription drugs or heroin, a naloxone injection could save a life.
To inject, place black end against outer thigh, then press firmly and hold in place for 5 seconds. 5, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Injection complete.
The medication should start working within a few minutes. Call 911 and stay until help arrives.
Big Rooftop Solar has already gotten tens of millions of dollars in subsidies. It's time they make it on their own.
Why do they need subsidies from us?
If they get their way, we'll all have to pay more.
This isn't about a choice. It's about money.
What they really want is a subsidy, and they want us to pay for it.
That's crazy.
I can't afford that. It's not fair.
It's not fair.
It's not fair.
For me to have to pay more.
Find out the truth at solarenergyfairness.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always pleased to welcome back to the program Liz McMenamin. She's the vice president of the Retail Association of Nevada, one of our proud sponsors. This opioid crisis just seems to be getting worse and worse. David Kessler, the former head of the FDA, was on CBS News last night talking about, even though it was after the time that he was head of the FDA, that he should have seen the problem coming. And what seems to be, you know, Mac Venzen was on the program last week from the Reno Police Department. It's not a blame game on all doctors.
No. No, Sam, the problem is not all doctors. There are a handful. You know, in any industry, you always find the bad actors, and they're there. And in this case, we happen to find one here in northern Nevada. But it's nationwide, the opiate crisis. And, yeah, I agree, the FDA should have seen this coming down the line. When they went in and authorized the use of this opiate for pain across the board as the newest and latest greatest thing that's just going to take care of everyone's pain, there was no consideration at that time. And I know the manufacturer of this drug listed at one time that there could possibly be a problem. And they skirted this drug through, and they got it through as quickly as possible, knowing themselves that there was a problem with this and that it is a highly addictive drug. So, I don't know. We're seeing it on the local level. When it comes home to us, then it's real, you know, and that's what's happened is we're seeing it in real. We're seeing people dying, and I don't know what all the answers are, but, yeah, I'd have liked for the FDA to have been a little more cautious in letting this out on the market when they did. I'm sure the manufacturer's happy after billions of dollars a year being made over and over again. But, you know, I think now we've put the brakes on it and we're taking the entire communities from the healthcare providers, law enforcement, treatment centers. We're now looking at what we have to do to move the pendulum some and maybe help these people that now have found themselves in a position that they never thought they would. How many people thought when they took their pain medications was going to end up with the possibility of becoming addicted to a drug?
All right, so on the other side of the coin, do you have a concern that the pendulum is going to swing too far, that people that actually need pain medication are not going to get it because the doctors are going to be scared that it's going to come back to haunt them?
Sam, that's a good point. And, yes, that is a problem, and we really want to make sure that that doesn't happen. There are a lot of people who, a cancer patient, there's many instances, and not being a doctor, I can't really go through the whole gambit, but I do know that there are people who definitely need pain medication, and we need to make sure that they are getting it and that we're giving them the best possible medication or treating their pain in the best possible way. So there were CDC guidelines that came out to look at scope of practice for pain, for treatment of pain, and I think as a whole we need to look at keeping this common sense, taking care of the patients that need it. We definitely advocate for taking care of those patients that are in pain and need their medication.
So you represent the pharmacy industry, Retail Association does. So what is the role of the pharmacist here? Because, you know, my thought is that the major role of a pharmacist is to prescribe drugs that doctors, you know, write a prescription for. How does the industry feel?
Well, as a whole, that's a really good point because most people do look at the pharmacist as the person who just fills that drug. However, the DEA looks at the pharmacist 50% responsible for that prescription that that doctor's written, because that pharmacist is your last and final stop before the drug goes out to the patient.
I don't think most people realize that.
No, they don't. And it was interesting because it was just brought up in a conversation, a round table that we were having Friday with the there's an industry coalition on prescription drug abuse, and we were discussing this. Dave Weiss with the Board of Pharmacy talked about this, and there were people in the room who had not heard that, but the pharmacist is being held as responsible as the doctor. So that pharmacist has a responsibility to that patient that presents at their window. They know, the pharmacist knows by looking at your records exactly what you're taking. So if you're going to five doctors or four doctors or however many, and each of them are prescribing something different, they know the chemical reaction for the different drugs and understand that, Sam, maybe you shouldn't be taking drug X because drug Y over here is contraindicated. So, you know, I think one of the things we need to do is educate the public about how important the pharmacist is in this role as to how they dispense the drugs and what they do and the role they play with the patient. So we're looking at trying to do some educating on that.
Okay, and more to come. Thank you so much for being here. We'll be right back.
Accidents happen every day. They change lives in an instant.
But what happens next is critical. That's why you need expert legal representation.
We worked for the insurance companies. We know their tricks.
Galloway and Jensen, we fight for you.
I'm an absolute dentist.
I'm an absolute dentist.
We are absolute dentists.
Do you?
Do you?
Do you have an absolute dentist?
I am an absolute dentist.
Absolute Dental provides complete dental care at affordable prices for your whole family, including children's dentistry and orthodontics.
I'm an absolute dentist.
I'm also an absolute dentist.
And I'm an absolute dentist, too.
Do you have an absolute dentist?
Because you should.
Call us today to schedule your appointment at 844-8-SMILE-NOW or visit AbsoluteDental.com.
Every day we help people injured in accidents. Do you know the compensation you're entitled to right now and in the future? Do you need our help?
Go lightly in Vanna, 222-3333.
Well, the low price cleaners that I had experienced is they'd come in and they'd just add stuff on and they'd make up the prices as they were going along. And I found out that they were working on commission. So I really felt that they were taking advantage of me. Unlike the carpet tender, they quote you a price and they stick by it. And their people that are out doing the work don't do the add-ons. So you're really getting a lower price by using the carpet tender in the long run.
If you or someone you know is suffering with chronic or severe back pain, call ProSpinal today at 336-DISC.
Call now and receive 50% off your laser therapy when combined with non-surgical spinal decompression.
Accidents happen every day. They change lives in an instant.
When you've been injured, you're going to have questions.
We have the answers and the experience.
Call Galloway and Jensen, 333-7555. We fight for you.
Go to NevadaNewsmakers.com and read Ray Hager News, the latest news from Nevada Newsmakers, right there on the website at NevadaNewsmakers.com. We'll see you next broadcast.